You are now immersed in the Superfans Soccer Cast with your hosts, Maddie Savage and Mike Apex. It's about to get lit.
Welcome in, super fans, and we are back once again with another banger. And this is the MLS All-Star Selection Snub Edition. Yes, right. And you know who it is right here. I am yours truly, Mike Apex. And of course, I got my guy on my side, number five, who always keeps it live, Maddie, the most savage one. And he's going to go crazy in this episode, guys, because it's been a lot of foul.
Just call it foul play, Mike. Call it as you see it. It's foul play. That's why we got cards. That's why we dished out the yellow and the red cards on this side.
It is. I try to be objective, right? But nah, you were very passionate. You hit me with that message the other day, voice message a couple days ago. And wow, I was like, yeah, you got to go in on this, Maddie.
Yes, sir. I was messaging you the Nashville versus Philly match. And let's just say it was a little bit heated, a little bit. Not going to call it a rivalry, but it was. It was one for the ages. If you guys didn't watch it and didn't see any highlights of it, man, you need to go back. You need to watch it. You need to look at the highlights because it was a special match this weekend.
As you can see, we love the drama. We love all the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat out there on the field. And, we're definitely going to let you go in on that. But we're going to save that for probably the last part of this episode, guys. And we're going to open up with what's been popping right now, right? USA! 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 Well, they made it to the championship, Maddie, in the CONCACAF Gold Cup. And, man, just the run that we made, it was amazing. It was amazing, right? You know, we talked about it early, and I pretty much was on board with these guys. I kind of was talking about it during the tournament, and I had predicted these guys to get pulled out the crystal soccer ball, and I predicted them to make it to the chip and win it. But I ended up being partly right, but I was, you know, disappointed to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, I felt that the team, I told you before we got to record it, Mike, I said, I'm proud of the team, but I'm disappointed in the performance. And in there, you can't have both. And that was exactly the way that I felt. Pride for the team, glad that they did what they did. We it was learning experience, it was growth. But we could have done better, and maybe it was mental fatigue, maybe it was physical fatigue, who knows, but definitely looking forward to better performances going forward.
Yeah, shout out to Coach Pokemon. I thought he did, to get there, right? These guys, he did a masterful job after the disaster early on with the friendlies, particularly Switzerland. And, we were hard on the yard on this guy, and we were tough on the team. But, you know, Coach made the adjustment. The guys were motivated. And they just started getting on that magical carpet ride. They were winning, guy. And, I'm just kind of like I said, I want to give them all their respect, dude, because I was very, like you said, Maddie, I was very proud of them. Just disappointed in this championship game here, especially playing against our Mexican brothers.
Yeah. It seemed that the Mexico come out, they were ready to play. They did not, you know. It seemed that we kind of took them off guard, the initial set piece and the header. And I ain't going to lie, it took me by surprise. Like, okay, let's go. Let's go, USA. And once the game after that happened, it's just like it was a boxing match. You know, the first punch had landed, and it's like, okay, it's real. And then once they started to with that pressure and that possession, I was telling my wife, I was watching, I was like, they keep up with this pressure, they're going to score. And then, I mean, shortly thereafter I said that, what happened? They scored, they tied it up, and they piled it on. They really did. And, again, I don't know if it was mental or physical fatigue played its role. Maybe we should have possibly switched the lineups a little bit to freshen up some things. I'm not going to second-guess the coach on that. He did play the same lineup, which, I mean, I guess that's good for continuity. But maybe bring some subs on sooner. I mean, when did he bring him on? Like the 75th, 80th minute when he was the first sub?
Yeah, it was pretty much late in the game. It was definitely – I don't want to get on coach. Like I said, shout out to coach. He did a great job. But you're right, Maddie. I thought I think particularly we were talking about Burkhalter, right? He seemed a little fatigued to me. I saw guys making a lot of errors, like simple passes that, you know, guys were like just kind of, you know, I don't know, giving the ball away. And Chris Richards scored that header early, and it was amazing. I mean, it was like in the first 3-4 minutes of the game. And I'm like, you, Maddie, I was going crazy. Like, wow. Well, you know, I was like, okay, we've been playing pretty well, building momentum throughout this, you know, tournament and getting to the championship match here against our, like I said, our rival, our brother, you know, down below the border, south of the border, Mexico. And the energy there, bro, the energy, they were playing in Houston, right? Those super fans down there, it was a raucous crowd. Like, it was, I felt like I was there, right? How they were going on. And to be honest, Mexico had a home, I felt it was a home cooking, home field advantage.
There was a good many Mexico fans in attendance. I can say that. So you might be onto something, as crazy as it sounds. But I'm going to make a little comment about the production side of things. Whoever thought it was a good idea to do the pregame pyrotechnics and all of that in a dome situation with the roof closed. I mean, for at least the first 30, maybe even the first half, where it was so hazy. They even talked about it on the broadcast. They're like, oh, you know, it's really hazy, but it's not real smoke. Like, I don't know the difference between hazy and smoke myself, but they were like, it's very hazy. And like, it was kind of hard to, you know, to keep up with watching at home. So I know that the players had to be, you know, like, let's say kind of have to squint your eyes a little bit. But yeah, going forward, they really need to check that and be like, hey, we need to do something else. Maybe not the pyrotechnics. Why don't, if you're going to do an inside dome type situation, do like a drone type, you know, celebration or whatever. Like, the technology is starting to advance. That way you don't have all this smoke and all this, you know, whatever. And if you are going to, like, test it out beforehand so you can kind of see, hey, this is what it's going to look like. Should we do this or should we not? Like, option. And come on, CONCACAF, do better.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, man. We're both, by the way, guys, we're both horror heads. We're big horror movie fans, you know. And that looked like a little spooky out there on the field. You're right, because it was like what is that? The Fog, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what it was. And potentially somebody could have got hurt out there, because I know we're watching on TV and it's looking very foggy, hazy out there, and you know, I get it. They wanted to, because it was the 4th of July, and they wanted to, you know, like you said, have the pyrotechnics. That's cool, but bro, you're right. You couldn't hardly see. It probably was like guys breathing in all of that, you know, probably, you know, coughing up a lung out there. Who knows? But, you know, they could have did better. And, hey, we've gone to, shout out to Atlanta United. We've gone there, and their fire and pyrotechnics is dope, you know. And I want to, while you're talking about, let me salute the Mexican national team, because I think they won. This is back-to-back, right? CONCACAF Gold Cups that they've won, if I'm not mistaken.
So I want to salute those guys, and particularly Edson Alvarez, that header. You know, we were. It was a great header, right? But you know, we were hoping as U.S. fans that you know he was offside, but he wasn't.
Yeah, I was hoping he was offside. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No shade, no hate, guys. But we rooting for our team. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like we left too much on the field. We had Ajuman, and you know he was our guy as far as you know a big striker or whatever. And you mentioned it earlier, Maddie. We were talking that the outsides were open, but for whatever reason, we kept trying to go up the middle. Which I know Ajuman was in there. We kept trying to force it there, and it wasn't there. They were keying on him, and we had a lot of opportunities that it just left me really. I wasn't mad, but I was upset. You know, it's the difference. But I was upset.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, Mike. From watching the game, I just didn't understand why they didn't make the extra pass to go up the field and expand the field, try to make it more wide. Versus, you know, they were playing inside the box. They're going box to box, and there was more than several times where I'm just like, I mentioned to you, again, we're going to use those basketball references because we know basketball, we know ball. And it looked to me like it's like, make the extra pass, you know? Guy was onside, make the extra pass, push it to the wings, and at worst, you might be able to, you know, get you some service into the box. It's like, I know Ajuman's not the best, probably in the air. You want him more on the ball, 1v1 situations. But they had him locked up. They were two men on him almost the whole game. And it's like, hey, he's 6'4".
Yes.
Use what skills and what natural ability that he has. He can jump. He's 6'4". I'm just saying. And that would have probably, you know, instead of us doing one type of attack, it's like, switch it up. Try it this way at least one. If they had at least done it one time to kind of spread the field, you never know. That might have been what you needed to unlock the defense. You know, they're so used to, okay, we're just defending this way. Oh wait, I got to defend this other way. It was a missed opportunity for sure.
It definitely was, and like I said again, salute to U.S. Men's National Team. You guys played your behinds off. You made it to. You proved a lot of people wrong. Like nobody really thought they were going to make it to the championship match. So we salute you for that. However, Maddie, you mentioned a stat. You know, we were talking earlier, and you were talking about can't remember, said something about the corners.
Yeah, there was way too many. It was a huge disparity. I mean, Mexico had 12 corners for the whole game. The U.S. had zero. That's an insane stat.
Wait. Zero for the U.S.? Really?
Zero. Not a single corner.
Unacceptable, bro. Unacceptable,
and,
bro.
And 12 corners for Mexico is unacceptable. There was so many times where it was like a mental lapse. And I'm going to use my Nashville team as you know, because they do things. They did it well over the past weekend, where if you're really close, you're a defender, right? You're really close. You have an option to hit it out and possibly get a corner, or maybe do that extra little effort to kick it out so it's a throw in. What as a defender are you wanting to achieve? And you'd never want to concede a corner. It seemed like the Team USA, they're just like, okay, yeah, just give up a corner. Oh, just give up a corner. Just give up a corner. It's just like you're giving them a set-piece opportunity where, you know, you really have to lock in versus a throw-in. It's like, I'll take a throw-in versus a set-piece corner any day of the week. And it's like it wasn't drilled in. It's just like, oh, yeah, just get it out. Just get it out, whether it's a corner or whatever. And these are details, right? Mm-hmm. But it matters. It matters.
It cost us the game, right?
Yeah, it did.
Right? When that header, that was, right? That was a set piece, perfectly, right? perfect set piece and the header. It was, man, you know, it cost us. The lack of aggressiveness, as you said, and the lack of a sense of urgency. Mexico got 16 shots, right? They got 16 shots off. We only got six.
Mm-hmm.
We only got six. Only three of those on target, right? Possession, we already know they dominate possession. You know, like I said, man, even at the end, in the extra time, we had 7 minutes extra time. We had three opportunities, at least three possessions opportunities where we could have possibly equalized the game and scored, right? And like you said, I'm seeing guys passing the ball back. I'm seeing guys, I don't know, they were acting as if they had 70 minutes instead of 7 minutes left. And yeah. And I was like, dude, if you're tired, get out of there. Get, you know, and making bonehead passes. It was just, I'm like, this is, you know, we're better than this. And I get it. Like you said, Maddie, maybe they were fatigued. I don't know. But they just didn't come out like trying to, you know, you got to seize the moment. We talk about that. When you're getting these super fans, when you're getting these in life, when you get opportunities, right, and it knocks at your door, you have to seize the moment, right? You can't put your foot in the door. You got to kick in the door and wave in the 4-4, right? We said this before. So that's what you got to do, guys. And Team USA, I didn't see it. I hope the U.S. men's national team, if you guys are listening to us, super fans out there, cherish this moment, right? Remember this moment, right? Ingrain it in your brain, you know, whatever. Just burn that image of how they were celebrating. They weren't being disrespectful by no means. They enjoyed themselves, you know, the Mexican team. But, you know, we had opportunity. You guys played great. But, you know, we didn't complete the mission. We got there, but we didn't finish it. So next year when we're hosting, guys, we're going to be rooting for you guys big time. Maddie and I are going to be up there. You know, we may take a trip actually up there to U.S. soccer right there because it's right here in Atlanta. So and see what's popping.
Maybe that, you know, that's a learning experience for Poach. Maybe he needs to, you know, find out what gets these guys motivated. And he hasn't been there that long, so he's still learning these guys. But once he gets it, once he finds out that button, presses it, I think that, you know, we'll be clicking on all cylinders. He's still trying to figure out where he can push. Where, you know what I mean? It's a filling out situation, and once he gets it down, mm-hmm. he knows. I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, I agree. I gotta shout him out again because he's doing a great job with all the noise, with all the, you know, naysayers and doubters, and even some of the players that, you know, should have been here. I think right now they're probably like, wow, could have been the difference. They got to be kicking themselves, right? And you know who you are, guys.
If they care, Mike, that's the thing. If they really want to be, you know, if it really is, and if you're in it for yourself, if you're in it for that jersey name on the back and not the jersey name across the front, then
wow. I agree. Definitely. And let me say this. I had to pull it up because, you know, like I said, I'm a Lombardi guy. And I know this is it's the other football. But, you know, since we're speaking on it, super fans, please listen up. Anybody out there, you can carry this forward in your life. But this is Vince Lombardi. This is one of my favorite. And I had to pull it up. But it says, I firmly believe that any man's finest hour, the greatest fulfillment of all that he holds dear, is that moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. And that's what it's about, guys, giving it your all, leaving it all out on the field. And when you don't do that, you're selling yourself short. You know, you really didn't give, we didn't give ourselves an opportunity to win. As Maddie and I mentioned, these guys did not play with enough fire. They weren't savage enough out there on the field. And, you know, coach can only do so much. He trusted his guys. He kind of substituted late, maybe some guys that were fatigued or whatnot. But overall, they just did not have that, you know, just go all out.
That's how you got to approach every game. Everything in life, you got to go all out, guys, if you want to be, you know, victorious and successful.
Yeah, let's move on to the all-star snubs. You want to go through the selections or just the snubs?
Is this a snub nose? Is this is this a 38? What we?
I got a list of some pretty egregious ones just off the rip. It'll make you hair stand on it and be like, what? These guys didn't make it.
make you want to puke, huh? Is that bad?
Some of them, yeah. But the stats to back it up, too, is just like, man, what?
Okay. Nice segue, Maddie. Let's get into the meat. We got the potatoes. Let's get into the meat of this episode, guys. This is the All-Star Edition, a.k.a. the Savage Apex Edition, right? And Maddie's been cooking again, guys. He has, like you said, he can't wait to get into it. So, hey, the gloves are off. Go ahead, Maddie, knuckle up.
All right. Number one, and this goes without saying, right? Even the biased MLS talking heads have said this can't happen. Yet it did. Sam Surridge left off the All-Star team for the MLS. Yeah. And he is the Golden Boot leader. He has the most goals in the league. 16 goals. And also give him 2 assists to go with it. Yet, he's not an All-Star. Crazy work.
Inexcusable. MLS, you're getting a savage thrashing right now. Go ahead, Maddie. Totally agree. Sam Surridge, that was Sam Snubbage. Okay? Sam Snubbage. You're right. This guy is killing it this year. Shout out to Nashville. You guys are headed to number one like a rocket. And for the MLS to do that, it makes me think, is this some type of, propaganda going on here? You guys are not being fair. Go ahead, Maddie. I'm letting you cook and go ahead.
Second one on my list, Dejan Jovetic. Y'all remember him probably, his time with the Galaxy last year, he was cooking. Well, he made the move over the offseason. He's playing with Sporting Kansas City. Mm-hmm. He has 12 goals and 2 assists, but not an all-star.
And go ahead. We're gonna have to break down what is considered. What is the qualifications? What is the standards to be an all-star? Like, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're gonna have to get into that too because you're right. He's killing. I know his team is doing alright, but still, for all-stars, this is exceptional play.
Yeah, I mean, 12 goals, 2 assists. That's really good.
That's ridiculous.
Third
that's crazy.
One on the list. This is another one. He was a big signing in the offseason for FC Cincinnati. Kevin Dinkie, 12 goals, 1 assist, not an all-star.
Wow. Dinkie, he's been big. He's come over there and been big.
Yeah.
He's been big, Maddie. Right.
And here's the one that really just takes the cake, right? Who is an all-star is Brandon Vasquez. But let's look at his stats this year, right? He has 5 goals and 0 assists, yet he's an all-star. Now, that one, I understand why, because they're having the game in Austin, and they didn't have anybody else to choose, I guess, but... and he's the new face of the franchise. I understand it. I do. Trust me. But man, to have him on the team and have these other ones get snubbed, it's not a good look.
No, it's not a good look. And who else did you have on there? Christian Espinoza. I think he was another guy that was snubbed. And again, we just played those guys, all right? And, you know, this guy's definitely a great player. Yeah, okay, he has, okay. Yeah, 4 goals, 6 assists. His stat doesn't jump off the page, yet his play, like I said, he's been a very key cog with San Jose, right? Earthquakes have been playing pretty well this season. And, hey, this kid, you know, definitely leadership and his passes and everything. He's been on point. This is one. I'm just going by. This is, okay, guys, you can see this is on SportsIllustrated.com. This is one of the guys that they mentioned. And Kai Wager from Philadelphia Union. I mean, not Wager, it's Wagner, right?
Yeah, or Wagner. I think it's
Wagner.
Kai Wagner, however you want to say it.
Yeah, because they got it. They messed up here. They showing Kai. Okay. But, yeah, they say he's been a consistently been a standout player. And I hate when they do this. They're going back to 21, 22, and he's been consistent. That's cool. But what about right here, right now? What about this season? You know, what has he done lately? And, you know, I did a number one team record-wise in the East, and I get it. But, you know, they're saying he should have had opportunity, should have been on there. And
they used to be number one. They got knocked this weekend. Like I said, I was telling you, since he's number one in the East now.
Oh, since he's number one now. Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
We're right behind them. Okay. By a point, okay. We're right behind them.
Oh, look at you. Okay. Shout out to the Ville. Okay. Cassville. And then what about Sean Johnson here with Toronto? And I'm not sure if he, I don't know, the team isn't all that. That's another thing you got to look at. Like, what is the criteria? You know, this guy, his stats, as far as the saves and such, has been stellar. But the team, when your team is not trash, but they're not doing so well, you know what I'm saying? I guess keeper is different. He's doing his job. He's doing a great job. And that doesn't, you know, he can't control the other guys. But, I mean, what say you on that? You think he,
I'm looking at the stats right now for the Eastern Conference, and it says goals conceded. They're middle of the pack, and I think that might be – they're actually below middle of the pack. So I think that probably plays its role. I could understand where you're coming from if they were, like, top 10 and he got snubbed. But, yeah, and some of that isn't on him. It's the defense as well. So he's been good. He's been good for a long little while, but yeah. How about talk about a snub, right? I'm high on you guys' keeper, Coronel. You guys are, what is that? Fifth in goals conceded. He's consistently one of the best. He is consistently one of the best goalkeepers and never gets any sort of love from these sort of competitions, it seems. And it's like, but when the time comes, when the playoffs roll around, or there's, you know, a PK situation, he comes up big. And, you know, I think that that to me is a snub.
Yeah, I appreciate the love. Yeah, Cornell's been doing it. He's steady. He's consistent, as you just spoke about. And I love his leadership out there. He doesn't, you know, he's on point. He's not complaining. He's not, you know, when guys make mistakes, he's more encouraging rather than, you know, biting their head off. I noticed that, right? And that's good when you want to keep guys locked in. Yeah, so you want to go down the line with some of the guys that were picked, I guess?
Oh, sure. I'll do the goalkeepers and defenders if you want to do the midfielders and forwards.
Okay.
So, starting off with the goalkeepers, there are three that were selected. Starting off first, Minnesota United's keeper, Dane St. Clair, was voted in. Next was Austin FC's keeper, which you were very high on, Brad Stuver. He was a coach's selection. And rounding out...
Deservedly so.
And rounding out the goalkeepers was Vancouver's very own Yohei Takaoka. And I was a little bit harsh on him on their run. I said he's not, you know, he's not flashy or, you know, he gets the job done. But he's not, you know, somebody that you can say, all right, this guy's in goal, we'll be fine. But
right.
Picked by the coach and I was just looking at the stats, and Vancouver's got one of the best defenses as far as goals conceded, so I guess I got to eat my words there.
Yeah, and I'll piggyback off of that. The midfielders, we got six. Now that you mentioned Vancouver Whitecaps, Sebastian Berhalter, he got voted in. And let me say this real quick. While we're going over these guys. So, if I'm not mistaken, it's a combination of the fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
The coaches and the players, right? It's like a third of each. That was is that what determines who makes the All-Star team?
I believe this. The fans did their part voting. And then you have the coaches mm-hmm. selection. And then you got commissioner's picks.
The commissioner picks. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not the players voting or whatever. It's the commissioner. I guess whatever. Call it like you see. It sounds like politicking to me.
Thank you. Took the words out of my mouth. Right. Pause. Yeah. Okay. David DaCosta from Portland Timbers. Coach's selection. He deserved it, right? You already know Evander. They just got down one name. Evander, FC Cincinnati, voted in, of course. He's been great. Diego Luna. I'm going to give this kid, let me give him a quick applause right now.
Come on, you got to give him a bar. You got to give him a whoop, whoop. That's a dog whoop, right whoop, there. Whoop. Yeah.
That's a dog. You're right. And you said that the last episode. You were talking about him. And shout out to him. This kid came out there and was a leader on the field. And they didn't match him. I don't want to go back into that. But, yeah, our guys didn't match his, level of leadership in that Gold Cup. But, anyway, he made it. Of course he made it. He earned it. He deserved it. And we also have from San Diego FC representing Coastal Selection, Jeppe, how do you say that, Matty?
Zirkov.
Thank you. Zirkov. Yes, definitely. And he's been paying dividends for San Diego FC, as we know. And I'm going to finish up with Philip Zinkernagel. With Chicago Fire, another coach's selection. And look, I'm not going to... These guys, they made the team, all-star team. They deserve to, be there, right? When we talk about snubs, guys, we're just saying guys that have blatantly been snubbed, blatantly been denied the right to play in this... I'm talking like it's the Constitution or something, but they denied their rights to play and represent in the All-Star game. But these guys, very deserving. But that's all I'm going to say for now.
All right, we'll move forward on the defenders. And the first defender is Inter Miami's Jordi Alba. He was voted in by you fans. Next on our list, we got Max Arson from the Columbus Crew. He was a coach's selection.
How's it going?
We got Tristan Blackman is next, the Vancouver Whitecaps. He was voted in by the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Next one voted in by the fans is Michael Boxall from Minnesota United. And I was just watching a little bit of their game on Saturday. And he actually has a lot of assists this year from throw-ins. So he's really become what we were just talking about in the Mexico versus USA match about, yes. You don't want to concede corners or, rather concede throw-ins. Well, this guy, it doesn't matter. He's going to turn a throw-in into a set piece because with his throw-ins getting assists. So that's a weapon in and of itself. Next on our list is Alex Freeman for U.S. Men's National Team. Orlando mm-hmm. City's own. He got voted in. Jacob Glesnes is our next guy from the Philadelphia Union. And I'm going to get on him later on in the episode. Don't worry. He is a coach's selection. Andy Nahar's. Nashville's own Andy Nahar. He's a
Nashville guy.
Yeah, Nashville guy. Only Nashville guy for the All-Star game. And I get on that one, too. Coach's selection. And last defender on the list, Miles Robinson from FC Cincinnati. He was a coach's selection. And that rounds out the defenders.
Yes, yes. Those, that's a good bunch right there. I can't argue with any of them. Definitely. Freeman did his thing. Shout out to Freeman again. You're right, with U.S. national team. Okay, guys, now we got to get to this is actually, I should have had Maddie doing this. This is the strikers, guys. These are the forwards, right? These are those guys that, you know, you pay to get the popcorn to see, right? Starting at the top is, again, from the U.S. men's national, Patrick Agyeman. Charlotte FC, commissioner's pick. There you go, Maddie. He's the first commissioner's pick here. And deservedly so. He's been playing really well and such. Second from the Philadelphia Union, voted in by you, the fans, super fans. Ty Paribo, yes. Thank you, Maddie. Yeah, he's in there. You already know this guy. He's going to be here every year. Dennis Boenga from the LAFC, voted in by you, the super fans. Next, out of San Diego FC, they got a lot of players. San Diego's representing lovely out here for the All-Star game. Salute to them. Is Anders Dreyer, right? He's doing his thing. Coach selection. And his teammate, Chucky Lozano, right? San Diego FC. He's commissioner's pick. And the one and only, the GOAT himself, Lionel. I like to call him Lionel because he's a lion out there on the field. Lionel Messi, Inter Miami, voted in by you, the super fans. Columbus Crew, Diego Rossi, Maddie, he's in there. Coach's selection. He deserved it. Austin FC, coach's selection also is Brandon Vasquez. And rounding out the top nine is Brian White out of Vancouver Whitecaps. And he was voted in by the super fans.
Pretty good list. Like I said, I can't really fault too many of those on that list. There's only a couple, and we've already talked about, you know, the reasons why, you know, I'll go with Brandon Vasquez. You could say, oh, he's only scored five times, but you're gonna have mm-hmm. to have somebody to represent Austin FC. It'd be a little bit of a slap in the face.
Nah, I thought it was pretty good. I just know that the guys you mentioned definitely should have been in there. I don't know if, you know, they have, do they have alternates or whatever?
I don't think they do because the list is so large already. I mean, you got what? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got enough for basically two teams here. So why would you need alternates?
You know, if someone got injured or, you know, could something happen, you know, but it's more than enough. This is true. And, oh, hold on. So how do they pick the coach? I just noticed here, Nico Estevez from Austin FC. He's the coach.
The team, the hosting team.
Oh, that's what, yeah, because it's in Austin. Okay, that makes sense. All right, fair enough. Whatever the hosting team, hosting a city or whatever, right. Okay, that's fair enough. Okay, MLS, I like that. I could rock with that. That's cool. Other sports like to pick the whatever teams, you know, leading or whatever, like they have the best record. But not like that, the whole city. Okay. Anybody else on here you want the spotlight? I'm trying to think.
No, not really. I mean, the two commissioners pick, I get Chucky Lozano because, I mean, he's got to be one of, it goes Messi's jersey sales, and I think he's like one or two right behind him. I mean, he's become, really? Oh yeah, he's an icon there for San Diego FC. I mean, they love him out there, and he's beloved by the Mexican American community, the Mexican community. So his jersey sale is up there. So that's a smart business move by the commissioner to pick him. And the other one is Osman, who I don't know if you heard, but Tom Boger's been cooking on Osman. He's been rumored to a move to England. So I don't know if he's going to play the All-Star game and then after that going to make the move or whatnot. But yeah, it's rumored that he's going to be going to the championship, which is the second division in England, going to Derby County.
I saw that. I didn't want to believe it, though, right? I didn't want to believe it. Shout out to the Charlotte Superfans. I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to see another young MLS talent player.
Charlotte's about to be hurting pretty bad because that wasn't the only rumor that I heard. There was Addison Milanda, the young center back that they have. He was linked to a move away from the club, too. So it's a glass half empty, half full, however you want to look at a situation. Because, all right, so if you do lose both of those guys, right, the positive is they weren't paying them very much. And so they turned around and they flipped them and make more off of them than what they were, you know. So they make money. It's a positive. And then you turn around and you have open roster slots. You have, I think they even have one DP spot. So the money for Osman, I think, was like $8 million and up to $10 million with like bonuses and like incentives and things of that nature. So that's money they can use to, you know, go out and find his replacement potentially. And same can be said for Milanda. I didn't see any details on financial and stuff. It was more like, you know, it's just rumored, kind of like a hot stove type of and then baseball, you know. It's like, oh, he's linked to this team. And it was a French club, the League One, one of those clubs, was and Milanda he's a French heritage. So I think for him, if you ask him, hey, would you rather stay here in the States or go back home and play for France? He's probably going to say he'd rather go back home and play for France. So it could be a good move for all. And I say all that to say that Charlotte FC could be looking differently, and that could affect the playoff positioning for them going forward because they're going to have guys that they're relying on currently that potentially aren't going to be there. And they'll need to find their replacements either through signings or maybe moving somebody up or around that's already on the squad. And I wouldn't want to be in that position, but I'm not a GM and I'm not, you know, don't want to hold these guys back by no means. But in the middle of the season, it's hard. It's hard to lose somebody in the middle of the season and try to find their replacement.
It really is. And, you know, Charlotte, I'm not going to say they've underachieved because they're in the thick of things. You know, I had those guys like way up at the top, you know, and like I said, they've been good, but very inconsistent. And like you said, if they're letting these two young guys go, it's going to be hard on the yard for, you know, the team. You know what I mean? Yeah, they get replacements or whatever, but you know, I was catching feelings watching the game last night. Shout out to Tolkien. You know, he's in the Bundesliga, right? And he was playing last night. They brought him in late. Coach brought him in late, and he contributed. Yeah, I just hated to see him. You know, and these young guys, I know it's cool. They're going overseas, and they're playing, like you said, in England or whatever, or Germany with Tolkien. But, bro, Charlotte has a lot of potential. I thought these guys could really have a chance at competing for the cup, right? For the MLS Cup. And for them to do this right now, if I was a super fan in Charlotte, I would be a little saucy.
Well, it just their GM's going to have to be working overtime and working them phones. That's all I got to say. That's a lot of production. You got one of the better defenders and, you know, your man up top. So that's something that remains to be seen. But that's going to round up our all-star selections and everything. And we're going to be playing the League MX, I guess, their version of All-Stars on July 23rd. So that's coming up. And it's going to be at Austin FC Stadium, Q2 Stadium, 9 p.m. on Season Pass. I'm looking forward to it. Should be an excellent game. It's going to be US-Mexico 2.0.
Yeah, the get back game, right?
Yep.
Guys, I kind of gave you guys an appetizer early on. You know, Maddie's been cooking all episode, I must say. We got a Maddie Savage message to the mainstream media. Like, man, he was talking to me, guys, about this and earlier, and I was like, wow, it boiled my blood also, to be honest with you guys, because like I said, Nashville Castrol is my second. That's my other team. Number love for those guys, and they're doing excellent right now. And we've been noticing some snubbage as we've seen, and we got the proof in the pudding, guys. You see what's happening with Surridge, particularly. But Maddie, go ahead, man. It's you know, go ahead. You got the red, the yellow. You got the flamethrower right now, man. So go ahead and let you do your thing. Go ahead.
All right. So really, this past weekend's match was the straw that broke the camel's back, as the adage says, right? Nashville SC played the Philadelphia Union. Okay? It was a great match. Again, I can't recommend it enough. Go back and watch it. And not trying to leave you guys in suspense, but Nashville got 3 points.
Yes.
But
excellent match.
Yeah, it was. It really was. It was went down to the wire, went down to the literal last minute of the game, and a penalty was awarded. Hany Mukhtar goes to the spot, knocks it home, 3 points. Everybody's happy. But let me give you a rundown of how the match went. There were several just horrible calls.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first half, again, I mentioned Jacob Glessness before, and I said I was going to get back to him, and now's my chance.
Right.
How in the world did he not get at least 3 yellow cards in this match? I don't think he got any, but there were some fouls that he was doing throughout the match that should have easily awarded him 3 yellow cards. One of them was on our goalkeeper. He made a play on the ball after, you know that you can't physically collide with the goalkeeper, yet he did. No,
he did that. Wow.
Yeah, he collided with Joe Willis, and that one was, you could have given him a warning. They just talked to him, but possibly give him a yellow card or something, right? A lot of times they do that to kind of like, hey, just chill out. Don't do that. That was in the first half. Later on, and this was in the second half, he had a high boot in the box that clipped one of our guys' heads, Jason Palacio.
Dang.
Yeah.
Okay.
Clipped him on the head. Man. Oh, it's not a foul. It's not even a yellow card. It's nothing, right? It's just incidental contact. Fast forward just a little bit. One of our guys had a similar situation, and it was a dumb call. It was the right call. I should say it's a dumb call. It was a dumb play by Jonathan Perez. It was too high. He was playing on the ball. He got the guy in the head, and it was a red card. Now, that was my first, like, whoa, what's going on? He went straight red. Didn't say yellow. Like, and granted, at this moment in time in the match, no yellows have been given. If they have, it was maybe one, maybe. I don't even think there was. Then he goes red. And a lot of my ire is going to go towards the ref in talking about the game, because he had no control of the match. I mean, he was in over his head. I mean, by a large margin. But I digress. Goes for the Ryan. Red card on Johnny Perez. Okay. He's out. So then we're down a man. Yeah. We're down a man.
Yeah.
And we still found a way to get the win. That shows the resiliency of the team, and I'm glad for them. However,
yes.
MLS, why in the world would you have this referee even officiate this game, knowing it's going to be one versus three, knowing it's going to be an intense matchup, and you put this guy out there, and he was out of his element the entire. I'm telling you, I'm not the only one that saw it. If you watched our game, you know what I'm talking about. And that goes for both sides. Both sides were saying that this guy was all over the place. No consistency, no handle on the game. Ugh. That's the match itself.
Wow.
All right? So, MLS, why have this guy referee the match? When you're talking about the match, this is number one in the East versus number three in the East. Mike, uh-huh. Did it get any advertising at all? Did it get any?
I was just checking my email. Not at all. We were just discussing before the episode. We both get emails, guys, from MLS and such. And we were checking, and they were talking about the Charlotte game, the Miami game versus Montreal. And no slight to these guys. And I think the Seattle. Seattle and Columbus, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And look, guys, we're not dissing any of these other squads or whatever, but this is the number one team in the East at the time, and the number three, right? Mm-hmm. Nashville's been red hot, yellow hot, right? Nashville, shout out. These guys have been playing awesome. I mean, all year, I knew they were going to do well. I didn't know they were going to do this well, and I'm pleasantly surprised. And for the MLS to blatantly disrespect these guys and not give them their, you know, respect due, right? It's just going to add more fuel to the fire and motivate these guys. It's just going to – I already know, Maddie, you guys, like I said, when you're – what are you in right now? You're in the second spot right now, right?
Yes, sir. You're
the second spot. So once you got to get the number one for them to pay attention to you, right?
Yes,
for the
referees
to respect you. Yeah, because some of these refs, guys, MLS, look, we respect the refs, right? For the most part, they've done, I'm not talking down on any refs. They've held their integrity. But for what Maddie's telling me, this guy should have got a minimum three yellow cards. He's kicking people like, you know, Taekwondo upside the head and he ain't getting a yellow card. Come on, what are we doing? What are we doing? Running to the keeper? Tackling them? I mean, this is soccer. This isn't NFL football, guys. Yeah, Maddie was cooking on that. He left me a couple epic voice messages. And I'm like, wow, I gotta let my guy, like I say, saute these dudes and stir fry them. And, but yeah, go ahead, Maddie. Let you finish it up.
So that's on that side of things. Let's get on the media heads side of things. And that's where it really just kind of burns me up.
Brainstorm us media? What are you brainstorming?
No. Not brainstorm. Oh. No. We we call it like we see it. You know, whether you're, you know, the big market, whether you're Messi's Miami, whether you're Montreal not doing so well, we're going to give you your shine. We're going to talk about you, you know what I'm saying, and what's relevant at the time. We're not going to talk about just because you're the number one seed or just because you're hot right now. I mean, think about it. We've talked about DC United. They're having, you know, struggling. And granted, super fans, if you're listening to us, we do try to, you know, spread the wealth out, talk about teams. We talked about the Whitecaps. We actually apologize for not, you know, thinking of you guys sooner. Honestly, we give you guys, you know, props. But yes, for them, and I say them, the MLS media guys, and one of the guys that I have kind of a bad taste in my mouth is Dax McCarty. He played for us not long ago. And I think that a lot of his, well, I'll just delve into it for the fans, right? So there was a clip on, it was either the countdown, MLS countdown, or the MLS roundup. I'm not too sure the two, but it doesn't matter. They were talking about, the theme was, what team do you think is going to win the Supporter Shield, which is the best team in the regular season? Now, granted, at the time, Nashville's, I think, third or fourth in the Supporter Shield. So it's like we have a good chance of doing it. It's not like we're, you know, like ninth or tenth and kind of like really outside of it. Like we're up in the upper echelons. So yes, Dax McCarty puts out his five. Nashville's not even on there. And I'm just like, okay, you had a messy exit of Nashville. Maybe you feel a type of way. Okay, fine. I'll say that. The next guy up was Sasha Kljestan, and he put us at five as a chance of, you know, of getting it. And what, you know, that they had Miami high on their list because they have played the less amount of games. They have four games in hand on the other teams. And, oh, if they win these four games, they'll be leading. And I was like, if. Talking about these, I was just like, guys, can we please stop talking about the same old teams and the same old scenarios? And again, you have to be number one for them to give you credit. Now they want to talk about San Diego. They're San Diego, because they're leading the Western Conference.
Right.
Cincinnati's leading the Eastern Conference. Now they'll probably be talking about them and giving them credit. And in 2 weeks, if Nashville's leading, oh, they'll want to talk about Nashville and the story and everything. No, why don't you talk about them before, when they're on the rise, when they're on the insurgency to get to where they are? Give them their price before they hit the top. And then it's like, oh, we only talk about this. Guys,
yeah,
have to do better. You can't talk about the same old teams and the same old scenarios and the same old talking points. And my last thing I'm going to say, right, and this is kind of wraps up our coup de grace on the MLS All-Star. Why in the world would they put out there about voting for the captain and including Messi's name in there? It's like you put his name in there with whoever. It doesn't matter. You could have Messi and not even MLS players. Messi's going to win. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because there's going to be people that, you know, he could not even be in the league, right? Or,
right,
forbid. I'm just using this as an example. Please don't come at me. He could be injured if he is on that list. Physically unable to perform. That's what they say in football, the pup list, right? Physically unable to perform. But if his name is on that list, I can guarantee you he's getting the votes necessary.
He's going to get all the votes, yes, of course.
So why even have him on that list of, and why even do it, say, oh, let's vote? It's like, he's going to win. You put him on the list, he's going to win. So why even put him on? Yeah, it's like, I would have enjoyed it more, and I'm speaking for myself, I'm not speaking for everybody here, but let the players vote on who they want to be the captain, and then they reveal it to everybody, because nobody would have a shock. They'd be like, oh, Messi's the captain. Why even say, oh, we voted on who we wanted to be in the All-Star game? Why do we need to vote on who we want to be the captain? When you put it like that, like I said last episode, it's really just the popularity contest anyways. So certain things, they can just let that ride, man.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, definitely. So that's like three red cards right there.
It's a bunch. It's a bunch.
It's a lot of catch up right there, man.
it ain't blood, guys. We're PG over here, but that's a lot of ketchup on these guys because they got cooked. Let me say one quick thing also, piggyback off of that situation with the media, mainstream media. When you were mentioning, I just thought about, and use a basketball reference, the Lakers, right? How they're constantly, you know, throwing these guys all up in the mix. And it's biased laziness. That's what it is. It's biased laziness by the media because they'll focus on certain teams all the time, the same teams over and over and over. The MLS has 30 teams that are highly competitive, right? Nobody knew San Diego was going to do this. Nobody picked Cashville to be playing this well this year. None of you so-called experts. But it's laziness because you still want to talk about the same old teams. You can't talk about certain teams that you were talking about earlier because they're losing. So, it pains you. You can't talk about them. But yet and still, you want to throw Miami in the algorithm, and we're not super fans of Miami. We love you guys, whatever, respect you guys. But you got to respect these other teams out here that's putting in work, the San Diegos, the Vancouver FC, Whitecaps, excuse me, and, of course, Nashville and such, and Philadelphia Union, because they didn't pick those guys to be like, they're good or whatever, but it's just, like Maddie said, we can do better. And I know we're going to do better because, like I said, super fans, we have the say, right? We have the word, the last word or whatever.
That's what we're here for, Mike. So we can spread the love and spread the wealth because it's a gold mine. Mm-hmm. The MLS is something new every day, something new every week for us to share with you guys. and the world soccer as a whole, there's so much to talk about. And it's like you shouldn't be talking about the same old teams. I know it gets old hearing about just the Real Madrids and the Arsenals and the Premier League and all this other. It's like those leagues all around the world, and we talk about them on our international break segment. Man, I mean, and those fans are so passionate. It's like you have to give them credit. You have to give them a little bit of love. Got to.
And I'm going to tell you what. That match down there in H-Town in Houston, it felt like an international match the way it was. Those fans were going crazy. So, yeah.
All right, Mike, I think that wraps us up.
Yeah, bro. See, that was a good episode, man. Super fans, I hope you enjoyed it. Definitely tune in next week because we're going to have another hot one coming at you. But, all right, guys, until next time, have fun. Be safe. Have a super fantastic week. Peace.
Later, you knuckleheads.
Thank you for joining us and showing your support. Become a part of our community by subscribing to our SoccerCast. Hit us up and send your comments to info@superfansusa.com. Peace.